And today's reading is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside restful waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God.
Several years ago, my oldest nephew, Taylor, was eating Cheerios for breakfast. His younger brother, Jack, came along and asked for a bite. That first bite, Taylor probably shared willingly. It's his brother. He knows Jesus wants us to share. Jesus, blah, 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 I should give. So he shared with his brother. But then Jack came back and asked for another bite. And then another bite. And Taylor started to hesitate a little bit because those were his Cheerios. And all he had was the one bowl of Cheerios. What if he gave his Cheerios to Jack and then there weren't enough left for him? Why should he have to share? He got the Cheerios out of the pantry and decided to eat them for breakfast. Didn't Jack see he only had a little bit left? Why shouldn't Jack just go find his own breakfast? All fair questions. All fair questions. And all the reason I want to talk today about Psalm 23, verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1. So in the next several weeks, we're going to talk about one of our key values around here at Harbor. Give freely with service. Give freely. Last fall, we celebrated our 25th anniversary as a church community. And so as a way of sort of kind of realigning ourselves around our mission and vision as a community, we have spent this school year talking through our three values as a community. Live fully in worship, love deeply in community, give freely in service. So today we're going to start these conversations about what does it mean to give freely. And I'm anticipating some common and reasonable reactions you might all have when you sit in a church service and hear we're going to talk about giving. Reactions like, all churches ever talk about is money. I feel like the church just wants my money. I've been part of churches that are not responsible with money, but they always seem to want more of mine. Or, oh great, here comes another guilt trip about what I should be doing more of. All these reactions are totally fair. I get it. The church as a whole has not always done a good job in its relationship to money. The church as a whole has not always stewarded its resources well. The church as a whole has made some big mistakes and hurt people badly over the way we utilize resources of people's money and time and talents. So as we begin this series where we're going to talk about what it means to give freely, I want to just acknowledge all that right off the bat and say, I hear you. I hear you. And I want to invite you, if you can, to just like hang in there with us. Because this is not just another sermon series about money. These next weeks are not just one more ask for more of your stuff, more of your time, more free labor. In the next 7 weeks, I want to talk about giving freely or generosity. And just so you know, here at Harbor, when we talk about giving, when we talk about generosity, we've got whole life generosity in mind, a posture of being a generous person. When we talk about generosity, we're looking at our time, our skills, our abilities, our space, yes, also our material belongings, and all of that we see as tools that we can utilize to serve God and serve others. I'm excited to talk about generosity because I think generosity is a gift. I think generosity is good for our souls. I think generosity is a joy. And yes, over the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about some stuff that might feel a little personal. We'll talk about how our belongings, our money, our time, our skills, they're not actually for just us. They don't belong to us. We're going to talk about how, as the people of God, we have a responsibility to provide for those who are without. We're going to talk about how we each have unique contributions to God's work and how our generosity fuels what God is up to in the world, right? How God can work through us to answer those prayers that we just prayed for those we love and the world around us. And if we don't understand Psalm 23:1, everything else we're going to talk about is going to just feel like a guilt trip. It's going to feel like another list of things to do, another push to do more, try harder, another way just to be like, man, I'm missing the mark. If we don't understand Psalm 23:1, we can't give freely. If we don't understand Psalm 23:1, we can't serve others effectively for the long run. If we don't understand Psalm 23:1, we will be tempted to hoard our money, hoard our time, hoard our skills, hoard our belongings. Without Psalm 23:1, it doesn't make sense to give freely. Without Psalm 23:1, we cannot do it. So today, I'm hoping we arrive at a consensus that it's a joy to give freely because we know the source of our generosity never runs dry. I'm hoping we arrive today at a clear conviction that giving freely is not only possible, but it's desirable. It's something we want to do. But to get there, we're going to do a deep dive into this familiar verse. We're going to spend all morning on 8 words of scripture, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Today we're going to talk about a few different parts of that verse and how it informs this value we have here at Harbor of giving freely, how it enables us to give freely, how it makes us joyful in giving freely. So let's start right at the very beginning. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. When I read Psalm 23:1, I can kind of skim past that phrase, the Lord. Yes, God. Okay, great. We're talking about God. We're always talking about God. It's the Bible. Of course, David would write a psalm about God. But I want to sit in that for a minute. The Lord. I want to talk about what it means to say that the Lord is my shepherd. What bearing it has that it is God who is our shepherd. Not a political leader, not a spiritual leader, not even a parent or a friend, but God, the Lord, is our shepherd. I was wandering at Walmart a while back, and I found this Bible study on praying the names of God. It's 52 weeks with a name of God for each week of the year. And this 52-week devotional does not contain even all of the names for God we have in the Bible, all the different ways people talk about God in the Bible. It's just some. There's more. But let's look this morning at just a couple names about God and who he is. Let's just ponder a small selection, okay, of what the Bible says about who the Lord is. The first name we see for God in the Bible is the name Elohim. Elohim. We see this name for God in the very first sentence of the Bible. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. So what does Elohim mean? That word Elohim, it's the plural form of an ancient word El, or Eloah, which is one of the oldest words that humanity has used to describe divinity, God, gods. The Hebrews borrowed this name for God from the cultures around them. Most often, it's the plural form, Elohim, that is used to refer to God in Scripture. Now, the writers of Scripture were not using the plural form, Elohim, because the early Hebrews were polytheistic and had many gods. No, For them, using the plural form was a way of expressing the majesty of God, that God is the God of gods, that God is over every other god, more powerful, more majestic, more capable. And we read that very assertion throughout the Old Testament as the people of Israel interact with other nations. Over and over again, God wants them to know that he is the God, the one true God, that whatever power other ancient gods like Baal or Moloch or Asherah might seem to have, his power is over all of them. He is the strongest. He is the mightiest. God is Elohim, the God of gods. And that is still true today. To say that God, Elohim, is our shepherd is to assert that our shepherd is the strongest, the mightiest, the most powerful. Elohim. In scripture, another name for God is the God who sees. The God who sees. An Egyptian slave woman named Hagar gave God this name in Genesis 16. She had been abused by Sarah, who was Abraham's wife, and she ran away into the desert in fear. She experienced God as the one who knows about the injustice done to her, who knows her need, who knew all about the bleak circumstances she found herself in. To say that God is our shepherd is to say that our shepherd knows us, sees us, is well aware of our needs, is well aware of the injustice we face, is well aware of our fears, our anger, our pain. Our shepherd is the God who sees us. Another name for God in the Bible is El Shaddai. Some of you, if you've been in the church a long time, might know a song from like the 80s called El Shaddai by Amy Grant. Check out that 80s hair. El Shaddai, Eliyana Adonai. Yeah, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Anybody else? No? Okay, you know that song. It's like an 80s song. Church kid. I grew up singing that song. El Shaddai is very often translated in the Bible as God Almighty. But we're actually not totally sure where that word Shaddai comes from. There's a whole bunch of different theories as to what other word that might have derived from. There are words in ancient times that mean mountain that sound like Shaddai. So it could mean we are saying that God is strong like a mountain. So what does it mean to say that God is the mountain God, that God is strong and unchangeable and powerful? Don't you feel secure in the care of a God like that? In the Old Testament, there's another name used for God about 66 times. The healing God. The healing God. In the Old Testament, God heals bodies. He heals the land. God heals souls. He heals broken hearts. He heals people from sin. He heals people from diseases. He heals the whole earth. He heals waters. He heals people from backsliding. He heals all of Israel, and he wants to heal every nation on earth. To say that God is our shepherd is to say that we have a shepherd who can heal literally anything and wants to. The Bible also says that God is a refuge. A refuge. In the Old Testament, there were cities of refuge where someone could run to for safety if they had accidentally killed someone. And when they were there, no one could touch them. They were safe. God is said to be a refuge. He's a refuge from harm, from chaos. He's a refuge from lies being told about a person. And he is a willing refuge. He's waiting for us to run to him so he can wrap his arms around us and protect us. So to say that God is our shepherd is to say that our shepherd wants to and can protect us. And there are so many more names for God in the Bible. In the Bible, God is the perfect father who loves us. God is the mother who longs to draw us close. He is the merciful God who loves to forgive. He is the Alpha and Omega, who existed long before time began and will continue existing for all eternity. He is the Creator who spoke light into existence. He is mighty to save. He's the one who rescues us from trouble, and he is the God who sings songs of joy over us when he thinks about us. So when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," we need to pause. We need to think about who our shepherd is. Our shepherd is the Creator, the Healer, the Provider, the Protector, the Almighty, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Everlasting One. Our God is incredible. That's who our shepherd is. So let's talk then about shepherd. My shepherd. Why does it matter that God is my shepherd? Why that? Why that analogy? Why does David choose that word in the psalm instead of refuge or provider or protector? Well, I think he didn't tell me this. I've never met him. But I'm guessing the reason David chose shepherd is because a shepherd does all those things. Shepherds had big jobs. King David, who wrote this psalm, was himself a shepherd. So when he was looking for the perfect metaphor to sum up who God is, he knew just the right one. Shepherd. Shepherds had many hats to wear. Shepherds were providers. They had to provide for their sheep, just like our God provides for us. Shepherds had to make sure the sheep had what they needed to survive. They had to make sure the sheep had food and water. They had to lead them to green pastures and still waters. They had to make sure they had a place they could rest well. They were providers. Shepherds also had to lead the sheep, just as Jesus said in the New Testament that he is the way. The shepherd of Psalm 23 leads the sheep in the right path, leads them to where they can find food, leads them to where they can find water, leads them to where it's safe for them to rest. Shepherds had to keep track of their sheep, just like the God who sees. They always had to pay attention to where their sheep were. They noticed if a sheep went missing. Shepherds were also responsible for the health of their sheep, just like our healer, God. If a sheep got injured, the shepherd had to clean the wound, put ointment on it, wrap it up, keep an eye on it, make sure it healed properly. They were responsible for health. Shepherds also had to protect their sheep, just like our mighty protector, God. Shepherds were responsible to look out for danger to the sheep. They had to make sure they kept the sheep out of the low valleys between hills where after it rained because flash flooding happened there. The shepherd had to protect the sheep from predators like wolves or bears or lions. That's why the shepherd's rod and staff are a comfort to the sheep. They were the tools of protection. Shepherds were security guards, bodyguards, waiters, veterinarians, navigators, and loving parents to their sheep. Shepherds did a lot. For this reason, kings and religious leaders were often called shepherds in the Old Testament. At different times, both kings and priests had really big jobs. They were supposed to protect the people, guard the people from going off in the wrong direction, provide for the people. But the thing is, most of the time, when kings and priests are being called shepherds in the Old Testament, it's by a prophet who's saying, "You're not a very good shepherd. You're being a bad shepherd." They're neglecting their responsibility. And my goodness, kings and religious leaders still have a hard time being good shepherds, don't they? Presidents and prime ministers and priests and pastors still regularly miss the mark of being good shepherds. Even, you know, political leaders or spiritual leaders who manage to avoid like major scandals have flaws. They fail. I know this because it's me, right? The elders and I here at Harbor, we've been called to act as shepherds of this community. And I know that at any moment, I am just one bad decision away from causing harm. I know that. I know that even if I manage by the grace of God to avoid some major scandal in my tenure as your pastor, it is inevitable that I will let some of you down. I will say the wrong thing. I will hurt your feelings with my big mouth thinking I'm being funny. You know. I'll forget to call you back. I'll miss an appointment we had. I'll make a decision that turns out to be the wrong one. I'll give you bad advice. I will. Because I'm just another human person. And humans other than Jesus have a 0% track record of not harming other people. As a little shepherd, an imitator shepherd to Jesus, I will fail you. As little shepherds, imitator shepherds, every single person on earth will fail us. No earthly shepherd will always heal, always provide, always protect, always lead you in the right direction. That's why to David, it is such a big deal that the Lord is his shepherd. Because he knows God is the only good shepherd. Right? That's what Jesus says in the New Testament. I am the good shepherd. So David knows who his shepherd is. And that's how he can say the third part of this verse. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. David's saying, if God is my shepherd, there is literally nothing I don't have access to. If God is my shepherd, I have the best doctor in the world taking care of me. If God is my shepherd, I have the source of life on my side. What can even death do to me? David's saying, if God is my shepherd, I have access to everything. What is there that God can't provide for me? If God is my shepherd, I have access to the one who is stronger than mountains. Who can harm me? The reason David can say there is nothing I lack is because he knows who his shepherd is. Harbor, do you know who your shepherd is? Do you know you have priority VIP access to the creator, the healer, the provider, the father, the protector, the refuge, the mighty one, the alpha and the omega? That is your shepherd. But if you don't realize who your shepherd is, I promise the idea of giving freely is a big drag. And that's the point. That's the big idea, okay? We can only give freely when we know who our shepherd is. We can only give freely when we know who our shepherd is. If we forget who our shepherd is, then we start to feel like we have to supply whatever the needs are. If we forget who our shepherd is, we'll get exhausted because our supply is not enough to meet the needs around us. If we forget who our shepherd is, we will resent sharing when we think what we have belongs to us and comes from us. It's only when we remember who our shepherd is that we can live lives of generosity the way we want to here at Harbor. This all brings me back to my nephews and the Cheerios. My sister-in-law, Jeremy's sister, Jen, was watching what was going on. Jack asking for more and more, Taylor increasingly hesitant to share. But Jen knew something that neither of the boys did. In the pantry at that moment were like 10 unopened boxes of Cheerios. See, Jen, my sister-in-law, is like the couponing queen, okay? She'd come across some amazing deal and got a ton of boxes of Cheerios for like a dollar each. So there were more Cheerios in the pantry than those boys could have eaten in a week. So Jen spoke up, and she said to Taylor, "Hey, buddy, there are plenty of Cheerios. There's plenty. I have lots of Cheerios for you. So you can keep sharing with Jack, because I will keep refilling your bowl." You can keep sharing. I will keep refilling your bowl. Harbor, do you know who's refilling your bowl? Do you realize that your source is unlimited, unending, inexhaustible? Do you realize that the one filling your bowl can just speak and create something out of nothing? Do you know that the one filling your bowl owns literally everything on earth? Do you know that the one filling your bowl has at his disposal all of time, all of space, everything that has been created, and everything that has not yet been created? And do you realize the one filling your bowl is crazy about you? He's crazy about you. He loves to fill your bowl. Your shepherd is unlimited, unending, inexhaustible. That is how giving freely is a joy. When we understand that everything we have comes from God and just flows through us and out, it's a joy to be generous because we're giving away what's not ours. It's a joy to get to give away more and more as God gives more and more to us. But if we lose sight of who our shepherd is, then giving freely is a burden. If we lose sight of who our shepherd is, giving is a joyless obligation. It is another thing to feel guilty about not doing enough. So as we begin this season, we're going to talk about generosity, whole life generosity as a community. I have some homework for you. You were hoping for that, weren't you? Especially college students, you're like just finishing your finals. You're like, yes, please, more homework. Here's your homework. This week, I want you to spend some time meditating on who God is. Maybe you realize that there's a particular area of your life where generosity is hard. Maybe you have a hard time being generous with your time, or you can be stingy with your space, letting people into your house, or maybe you struggle to be generous with your money, and you find yourself just kind of, as Donna shared, wanting to just always make sure you save a little more, have a little more. Wherever you struggle with generosity, I want to invite you this week to find one Bible verse about God that speaks to that. Okay, consider what quality of your shepherd might help you be more generous as you understand his generosity toward you. For example, I struggle to be generous with my time. I can be very stingy with my time. So it helps me to meditate on verses about God and time. It helps me to remember that Ecclesiastes says God makes everything beautiful in his time. That Lamentations says it is good for me to wait on the Lord. That Peter says that time in God's eyes is really different than time in our eyes. That 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years to God. These verses help me remember that there is a time for everything, that God's timing is perfect, and because I serve an eternal God, I have all the time in the world. I can live an unhurried life and trust God with my time. So if you struggle with generosity in some way, maybe ask God to help you see what about his character you need to trust more. Do you need to trust that he will provide for you, or that he sees injustice, or that he will come through for you in difficult circumstances? Google's your friend here, guys. Do you know you can just Google things like verses about God and money, or verses about God providing for me, or verses about God as my, you can just Google that. Maybe like check the AI response, okay, against the actual Bible, but like you can just Google that stuff. Or even just Google Bible verses about God's character. Maybe you're not even sure where to start, but maybe just a list of verses about who God is would help you. And as you read through them, maybe something will resonate and you'll say, oh, that's a characteristic of God I really need to sit in this week. Or you can ask a friend for help, or me, or your journey group, or you can go to Walmart and buy this. I feel like I'm giving a commercial here. But find a Bible verse this week to meditate on, okay? And then Katie Smolinski, our communications director, is going to put a post on Facebook this week inviting you to share what verses you're thinking on. So be on the lookout for that post, and then let's share them. And let's together put our hearts and minds on who God is, who our shepherd is. When we know who our shepherd is, it is a joy to be generous. So let's spend some intentional time together learning about our shepherd, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Let's pray. God, you are so good. You are so generous to us. We long to be a community that just models you, that as we receive more and more of who you are and what you've done, that we would overflow like the cup in Psalm 23, and we would see that everything we have is coming from you and we can't outgive you. Help us this week to be encouraged as we remember who you are, so that we can say with David that because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. In Jesus' name, amen.